The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. You know, I am so excited to be talking with you this week because God is continuing to prepare his body of Christ for a great move that he is doing here in the United States of America. And you know what? That is an exciting thing. So get excited. Last week, I talked about how the Lord is raising up people who are servant leaders. No longer in the church is there going to be a special class of people that try to appoint themselves as kings and rulers over his people. The Lord said, "I will restore thy judges as in the days of old." The judges were ordinary people. They didn't come from a special kingly line. They were regular folk, just like you and me. In fact, one of them was even a woman, right? Deborah was married. She was a wife and a prophet and a leader over Israel. Now, the reason why this is important and why God says, "I will restore thy judges as in the days of old," is because it's taking them back to a time when God was their king. They didn't have a king. Why? Because they said, "We want a king so that we'll be like the other nations, and he'll take on the responsibility for us. He'll go and be a representative for us. He'll fight our battles for us and make decisions for us." There is this transfer of responsibility that happens, and the king gets all the benefits where, you know, he gets all the riches and the palace and all these things, okay? So when God says, "I'm restoring thy judges as in the days of old," I'm taking you back to a time where you didn't have a king over you. And instead, the leaders were regular, ordinary folk, just like you and me. But they heard the voice of God and they obeyed. That's it. And did you know? That's all it takes to be a giant and a leader in the kingdom of God. You don't have to be born into a specific family. You don't even have to sound or look a certain way. You just need to hear the voice of God and obey him. And God is giving all of us the opportunity to hear him. You know, the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, this is what it says. "If you look for me with your whole heart, you will find me." Now, isn't that amazing? If we just search for the Lord with everything that we have, and we say, "God, I want to encounter you. I want to hear from you." If we do that, the Bible says that we will find him. So this is an ultimate equalizer for his church, because in Christ, we all have the same salvation through Jesus Christ, and we all have the same Holy Spirit operating inside of us. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. So any person out there that may be doing miracles or bringing salvations or being used mightily by God, it's not that they are innately better than you, that somehow the Lord has specially chosen them because they're special. No, you have the same Holy Spirit inside of you. And if you choose today to seek the Lord with your whole heart and you hear from him and find him, and you choose to obey him, then you will be counted also as among those anointed and powerful leaders in God's church. And that is an exciting thing. So it doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old or if you're a man or you're a woman. All that matters is that, you know what? I know the Lord is leading me to go here or say this, or do this thing, and so I am going to obey him no matter what anybody tells me to do. Those are the people that God is raising into the leadership position in this day, and that is an exciting thing. But before I continue, I want to remind you, and I mentioned this last week, which is that Pastor Chris is now beginning to embark on a mission trip to the Philippines. She's going to be there for basically a month, training leaders and ministries because God wants to stir up revival in the nation of the Philippines. So I want to encourage you, if the Lord is leading you to give towards that mission, well, you can go to our website, sogmi.org, and hit the donate button and support the mission that is happening in the Philippines. But let's continue on with the lesson for today. So last week, we talked about God's raising up a new standard for leaders. And it's not leaders that are looking to rule over his people. This is something that Jesus said to the disciples. He said, "Do not lord over people like the rulers of the world do. But instead, the greatest among you will be the servant of all." So a leader in the kingdom of God is a servant leader. They pray over those that they are leading. They work harder than those that they are leading. They take on more responsibility than those that they are leading. And Jesus was the ultimate example of this. He did not come to earth to lord over us. He came to earth to be beaten and whipped and mocked and then die on the cross so that we could receive salvation. That's the model of leadership that Jesus gave us. And if you find yourself in a ministry where the pastor or the leader is trying to pressure everyone to serve them, make everyone sacrifice on behalf of them, right? And maybe they snap at people because things weren't done exactly the way that they want, right? Are they showing examples of servant leadership, or are they trying to rule and lord over people like a king? Remember, God said, "I will restore thy judges as in the days of old." And this is a dark thing that the church is now coming out of. We are not going to have kings anymore. We are going to have individual people who choose to obey the voice of God. And something that's going to come out of this, and I touched on this last week, which is that preaching is no longer going to be seen as the ultimate in the church. It is not. And what we have done for many generations is that we have created many leaders who all they can do is preach. Man, they can quote the scriptures, they can tell these extravagant stories, right? They can holler and they can hack and they can do all of these things. But there are no signs, there are no wonders. It's all theatrics. And sometimes it's even less than that. Sometimes it's not even theatrics, it's only academic study without signs. And then what happens is that those leaders train up new leaders to do the same thing. All they can do is quote scriptures and preach at people. That's it. And it goes on and on and on. This cycle is now breaking in this day. Jesus did not just go around preaching. Many times when he spoke in the public, he told parables. And many of them didn't even get the fullness of what Jesus was saying, but he still spoke it as the Spirit led. Other times, he went around healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. And think about this. Most frequently, when Jesus was quoting the scriptures, who was he speaking to? He was responding and usually speaking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they say, "You know, Jesus, you know, what about this?" Right? Trying to trap him. What about that? Trying to trap him in another way. So most of the time when he was referencing scriptures and quoting scriptures, he was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. We are not going to turn the nations towards Christ going around preaching. Because ultimately, preaching is us going around saying things. And understand, I'm not trying to say that preaching isn't important. Preaching obviously has a role in the church. But if you go throughout the Bible, how many of the heroes of faith, the heroes in the Bible that we aspire to live a life like, how many of them were preachers? Was Abraham a preacher? Was Moses or David a preacher? You could maybe make an argument that some of the apostles were preachers, but they didn't just go around preaching. And let me ask you this. Was Jesus a preacher? He wasn't. Jesus wasn't a pastor, and he wasn't a preacher. There were times he gave a sermon, But that was not his first and foremost calling. Because preaching, ultimately, it's an extension of the things that we say. But the most important thing is not the things that we say. They are the things that we do. Think about the book of Acts, right? It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's written by Luke, who compiled many eyewitness testimonies of all the deeds that the apostles who had followed Jesus had been doing. We are moved by the stories. And now think about the majority of what happens in that book. Think about Paul and Silas. It talks about how they were sharing about how Jesus had risen from the dead and how he may receive salvation. They get thrown in prison, right? It's a bleak situation. And what happens? What do they start doing? They start praising God, even in this bleak situation. And we know the story. An earthquake comes, shakes the prison walls, and suddenly they're free. But they don't just run away in that instance either. The scripture tells us, because understand, you're wrongfully imprisoned, right? Suddenly, God flings open the gates, and you might think to yourself, oh, this is great, I'm scotch-free, right? God delivered me, and you run away. But Paul and Silas didn't even think in these terms. Because what happens is the prison ward looks around and realizes, oh no, I'm going to be killed because I let all these prisoners escape. And so he's about to kill himself. And Paul and Silas say, no, stop. Don't harm yourself. We're still here. So they didn't run away, even though God opened the prison doors for them. Because they knew that God still had a work for them there. This is showing the extent of their faith. It's not even part of their preaching. They were imprisoned. They still praised God. The doors opened. They didn't run away. And now this prison guard, he goes before them and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then they tell him. And so not only do Paul and Silas get delivered, this prison guard gets delivered. I guarantee you many of those prisoners were thinking, man, this Jesus guy must be real serious. This is just one example of the way that Paul and Silas lived their lives. And the preaching was a minor part of the story. Think of Abraham. God says, go, leave your family, everything behind, to a land that I will show you. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. And yet he had faith in God. And now, thousands and thousands of years later, we read that story and we say to ourselves, I'm going to have faith in God because I know that God is faithful and I can trust in him. These are the kinds of lives that we need to be living, ones that are marked by actions in obedience and faith to God, right? So preaching is not the ultimate. Abraham, David, Daniel, and Jesus were not preachers. Now, some of you will be called to preach, but others of you will be called to the marketplace. What is important is that if somebody were to write an account of your life, right, they were to get eyewitness accounts of where everywhere you went, that all the things that you said, they followed you around, and they wrote a document documenting your life, it should inspire people for generations to come in the same way the writings of Abraham and the writings about the Acts of the Apostles inspire us to this day. This is what it means to be a living epistle. That if somebody were to look at your life, they would say, wow, they really believed God. They really had a relationship with the Lord. And the Lord blessed them as a result of that. They really believed God so much that in spite of everything, they chose to obey him. You know what? I'm going to follow in their example. I am also going to have faith in God. And if we, the church, begin to do that, live in a manner with which we are living epistles, somebody looks at your life and they see the hand of God on it because you trust in the Lord, then miracles, signs, and wonders will begin to follow the church again. That's what's required, right? And so it's not preaching. Preaching is not the ultimate. Something that will also happen is that we will be setting a new standard for Christians. Think of somebody like Daniel, or Joseph. Daniel was somebody who had a reputation with which the most difficult problems that couldn't be solved by anybody else, you go to Daniel and he can solve it. And Daniel served multiple kings in his lifetime. And every single one of these kings acknowledged that there was something supernatural going on in Daniel's life. Daniel had wisdom that even the wisest and smartest people in all of Babylon paled in comparison to Daniel. The scripture literally says that Daniel was found to be 10 times wiser than the wise men throughout all of Babylon. So think in the United States of America, think of the smartest scientists, the smartest financial advisors, military strategists, whatever you can think, right? Engineers. 10 times, found to be 10 times smarter and wiser than everyone coming out of Harvard, MIT, all of those places. But it was God Almighty who filled him with wisdom. Why? Because Daniel honored the Lord, even when it was not convenient for him. This is the kind of standard that Christians should carry with them, where if you're working at a company that they know, one, you are trustworthy and you are completely trustworthy in everything that you do. And two, when there's a problem, you're able to produce a solution when nobody else could figure it out, right? So really, as Christians, we should be the best workers. We should be the most productive people ever. And on the flip side of this, if you're the boss and you're a Christian, we should be the best employer. So if you're an employee, your boss should be saying, man, thank God that I have Christians that are working for me, right? Because I guarantee you Nebuchadnezzar and the kings under Daniel, they were thanking God that Daniel was under them, that Daniel was working with them. Now, on the flip side, if you are the boss, then your employees should be saying, I thank God that my boss is a Christian. Because man, this company, it keeps getting more and more profitable, and it's such a great place to work. It's so exciting. The spirit here is great. This is the kind of standard we should be setting for ourselves. You know, so if you're a Christian, you're going out to eat, Christians should be the ones that give the best tip. We should be the best customers and the best workers. Following the Lord is not just about preaching. It's a lifestyle. Our entire life needs to embody the Spirit of Christ. Now, I want to shift gears because I've been talking about how some of you are being sent to the marketplace, which means that your faith walk with the Lord has to be completely integrated with your business walk. It's not separate. It's completely integrated, which means that when you're trying to close a deal, trying to get that contract, you should be consulting God. When you're trying to develop a new product, you should be consulting God. When you're trying to figure out how to market that product, you should be consulting God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said that we are being sent. God is sending something to us, the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things. It's not just limited to the Bible, guys. Daniel knew about more than just the Bible. You think that the king of Babylon was thinking, what do you think about when Moses spoke to the burning bush? You think that the king of Babylon was asking Daniel about that? No. He was asking about governmental affairs, economic issues, military issues. We should be able to talk about these things and solve problems and produce results. And this is actually evidenced in the scriptures. So everyone knows the story of Solomon, right? Solomon asks the Lord for wisdom. And why did Solomon ask God for wisdom? Because he realized that the job that he had been given was so much bigger than himself. He said to the Lord, he said, God, I need wisdom because I don't know how to govern this great people of yours. And I want to do a good job with this opportunity you've given me. All of us have been given a task like this. If you follow the Lord, the calling he places upon you is bigger than you can handle on your own. It's bigger than yourself. Like Abraham, God said, look at the stars. That's your descendants. Count the sand on the sea. That's your descendants, right? It's just bigger than you can imagine. But to walk it, you need God's wisdom. And so Solomon asks God for wisdom, and God says, because you've asked this, right, I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you riches and long life, so much that you will eclipse all other kings in your era. Now, look at the kind of wisdom that God gives Solomon. It says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, and it names all these people, you know, maybe in this day and age, you know, he was smarter than Einstein or something like that, right? So as you continue, it says, his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005, right? So Solomon wasn't just wise as far as telling proverbs. He wrote music. Like, that's not fair. He's a musician too, right? Verse 33, he spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows on the walls. He spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Solomon was not just quoting the Torah and the prophets. Look, he was a scientist, and he studied herbology and zoology and music. And he was so profound in his speaking that people traveled from all over the world to hear him. This is what it should be like for Christians. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have access to wisdom from the God who created the universe. We literally just have to talk to God. Now look at this. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Now notice this. Solomon's fame, the queen of Sheba came because how famous he was concerning his wisdom and because of his relationship with God. Now, Solomon didn't have to go around preaching, and man, my relationship with the Lord is so great. No, it became famous about his relationship with the Lord because it was so evident upon his own life. So the Queen of Sheba arrives, and she brings a huge caravan with spices and riches and treasures and all of these things. And it says she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in the robes, his cupbearer, the burnt offerings that they made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. And she said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I have heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praised be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. So the queen of Sheba praised Solomon, and she said, your people must be so delighted to be your subjects. So I want to leave you with this, which is that we need to stop limiting God, asking the Holy Spirit concerning things in the ministry. Our faith walk does not end with reading the Bible, singing songs, and preaching. It extends out into the world in politics, education, technology, science, and maybe new industries that we don't even know exist yet. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit in everything. And let me tell you, as you seek out the Lord with all your heart, he will be found by you, and he will teach you all of these things. Trust in God. And let me tell you, there are many, many exciting things to come as we pursue the Lord in these things. But I am out of time for this week, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.